Okay, our next presentation this morning is from Tyler Gardner from Kansas State University on the evaluation of macronutrient uptake in partitioning in winter wheat.
It's all yours. Just go ahead and use the arrow keys and go forward.
Okay, good.
Yep. Alrighty, first of all, I'd like to thank you all for coming. Appreciate you being here. Today I'm going to be talking to you about the evaluation of macronutrient uptake and partitioning in winter wheat. So, my first part of my topic is why do we care? And Kansas is a prime wheat producer in the United States. In 2014, we were second in the nation, only behind North Dakota in terms of total production. We produced 246.4 million bushels of wheat, and that had a farm value of $1.5 billion. So as you can see just from that right there, it's a huge part of our economy in our state. So part of the production of wheat is having a strong nutrient fertility plan, and that really starts with understanding where the uptake patterns of the plant. And so in 1980 was by Drs. Carlin and Whitney, they did a study on the dry matter accumulation, mineral concentrations, and nutrient distribution in winter wheat, which was huge for wheat production in that we really got a clear visual of the uptake patterns and where nutrients were being accumulated within the plant. So being as it was 1980, and that being 35 years ago, we thought it's a good time to look at, you know, new varieties. Maybe we can just expand on the knowledge that they accumulated within that time period. So we thought that was a good justification for this study. So the objectives of this study were kind of two-part. First being to evaluate and describe nutrient accumulation and partitioning patterns within a Kansas wheat variety. Basically just getting a good visual representation and really taking a close look at where the nutrients were accumulating within the plant throughout the growing season. And then on top of that, we also wanted to assess the impact of micronutrient fertilization on nutrient uptake and partitioning so that we can have a better understanding of, are there influences from the micronutrients, not just in terms of yield, but also in terms of biofortification. Can we improve the grain quality? And even further than that, maybe in the future, looking at forage quality of wheat as well. So we had a good basis to go off of. So for the materials and methods of my study, it was initiated at the Agronomy North Farm in Manhattan, Kansas, throughout the 2014 and 2015 growing season. Now the soil on this particular site was a small and silty clay loam, and it was a randomized complete block design of the study, and the variety we planted was Hot Rod at 45 kilograms per hectare, and it was planted on October 7th, which is right around a common wheat planting time within Kansas. So our soil tests for the site were, as you can see, as you can see, we had two treatments, and these were the soil tests within those two treatments. So our pH was right around and consistent with normal wheat growing levels within Kansas. Wheat is a fairly acidic tolerant crop, so weren't too concerned about that. And as you look across our soil tests, looking at both P and K, you can tell. For soil test critical levels within Kansas, we were well above them. And we still did fertilize, and our idea behind that was that we were looking to completely eliminate any form of nutrient-limiting levels within our site because we really wanted to see the perfect scheme, I guess. We wanted conditions to be perfect for our uptake so we could really pattern it as in good conditions. So here's our two treatments. We had an NPNK treatment and then an NPNK plus micros treatment. Both of them received the same amount of nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium at 112 kilograms of N total. And that was split applied. 45 kilograms of it was applied pre-plant as UAN. And then 45 kilograms of it was applied at top dress in the spring. And phosphorus was applied at 86 kilograms per hectare. And it was also split applied. Part of it applied pre-plant as APP 10340, and that was at 30 kilograms. And then another granular broadcast was applied at planting at 56 kilograms, and that was as MAP. And then potassium at 56 kilograms per hectare, and then sulfur and micronutrients to the treatment that it pertained to were applied as a broadcast granular fertilizer at planting. And those were at the levels that you can see here, all in kilograms per hectare. So once we had the study established, we initiated our sampling protocol, which was we sampled 0.38 square meters within each plot, and that was initiated at Greenup in the springtime, and that was every week, weather allowing. And I say weather allowing because this year we had some unusual weather events in Kansas where we got an increased amount of rain as opposed to normal, and it limited us a couple times on when we could get into the field and get our samples taken, so we had to take that into account. Once we had the whole plant sample, we took the plant into the lab and partitioned it off into plant fractions of leaf, stem, spike, and grain when they pertain to the stage, and then we took one sample at anthesis of root samples, which I do not have the data in this presentation for. So, taking a look at our results and what we found, this is dry matter accumulation starting, day zero is starting at green up and moving all the way up through physiological maturity at day 83. And as you can see, our NPNK and NPNK micros, they're very similar. The one difference that we can see is that we did not have a significantly larger amount of biomass with the NPNK plus micros treatment, but what we saw was a more rapid accumulation later in the season as opposed to the treatment that just received NPNK. So we had to you can kind of see the lines in the graph represent, the far right line represents peak levels, and then the left line represents 60% of the peak level. So you can kind of see we're about a week behind with the NPNK treatment as far as 60% of the peak levels. Moving on to nitrogen uptake, we see the exact same phenomenon here, whereas the NPNK treatment is behind where we were at with the NPNK. It accumulated 60% of its peak much sooner than the NPNK plus micros, and that was significantly sooner, almost 2 week period. Looking at phosphorus again, we see the same phenomenon, not quite as apparent. The pushback was smaller than what we saw with nitrogen, but again, we do see it here. And we see the accumulation pattern for phosphorus starting at anthesis there is very rapid. So we see an extreme amount of phosphorus being pulled, being uptaken, actually going straight to the grain as opposed to it being more translocated from the plant. With potassium, we saw again the same phenomenon. However, the peak of potassium with the NPNK occurred at a much earlier rate or much earlier time period than as the NPNK with micronutrients treatment did. So, as you can see, day 46, which was right at anthesis, it occurred at a very early rate, and that I attribute that just to the fact that potassium is not stored in the grain nearly as much as nitrogen and phosphorus is. So looking at the impact of yield that this had, that the micronutrients had, as you can probably guess, we did not see a significant increase in yield. And this was just because we were holding levels completely steady. There were no major differences there. As far as grain nutrients, we did, again, not see any significant impacts for macronutrient concentrations within the grain. And so in conclusion, for our summary, there was no significant impact on grain yield. Uptake patterns of nutrients were shifted later into the season when we added the addition of micronutrients. This data, we will use this data in the future to observe uptake timing periods, the rate of nutrient requirements, looking at how much we uptake and how much we need to apply. And we will use it to further assess the importance of micronutrient fertilization, not just in terms of yield, but also in terms of grain quality. And there will be further studies, not just looking at the micronutrient levels, but also looking at further expanding into the micronutrient concentrations. I would like to acknowledge the USDA for funding this project, as well as the Kansas State Soil Fertility Team for helping me throughout the entire process with this project. And with that, I will take any questions you guys might have.
Okay, do we have any questions for Tyler at this time?
I missed it here in the back, but what was the yield just in bushels an acre, English units, for example?
Bushels an acre was between 50 and 60.
And second question, I guess, nice work, great project as well. A lot of graduate work there, so hats off to you. In your review of the literature, what have you noticed? How has that changed over time? Some of the information that you see here versus maybe some of the older studies, have you noticed any differences?
On
Nutrient accumulation.
Not as significantly. I don't see, there's not one apparent difference that just stands out. We're looking at different varieties and stuff. Grain nitrogen levels have pushed a little higher. Yields obviously have pushed a little higher. And that's not just attributed, to the nutrients, but also, everything else. But, thank you. Yes. I did. I just didn't think I was going to have enough time to get it all fit into this presentation. In the future, I will be presenting that at further dates. We saw significant differences in a couple micronutrients with the addition of micronutrient. We did. Yeah, that's. There was not, no.
What was the reason there was no yield response?
For the reason for, say it again?
There was no response yield. What was the reason for yield? For nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, as well as macronutrients.
There was no yield difference. Well, the nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium levels were all the same. The fertilization levels were all the same for both treatments. The micronutrients, we just weren't at a level where they were a yield-limiting factor, so we didn't see the yield response from them.
So what was the reason why there was no response to nitrogen phosphorus test application?
I guess I'm not.
Is that not related to the sort of planning we already had enough? Then you put more.
We did. That was our intended purpose. We did not want to see a response from nitrogen, phosphorus, or potassium. We just wanted to document the uptake levels in the plant. Yeah, we wanted to make sure there was no limitations at all.
Will you be publishing this or making it available at all?
Hopefully at the end of my thesis project I will be, yes.
Okay.
familiar with the soil series that you presented, could you please give me the family level so I get a sense of what the growth medium was?
I can't give you an honest answer because I don't know for sure.
So there was no response to micronutrient application. How is this result consistent with what the Southwestern lab there recommends for this particular crop?
As far as critical levels?
Yes.
We were above critical levels. So essentially, we were adding additional micronutrients to it.
As a result of this, do you think will alter the future recommendations, the result of your research?
I do not. Site-specific, it could be site-specific.
Okay.
And further, you know, further research, if we do get some sites where we see, you know, limiting levels, we could see, but that again, that's not my intended purpose. I'm not looking to alter the critical levels at all. I'm just looking to really show the uptake patterns.
Okay, we've got time for one more question. How common is micronutrient use in wheat in Kansas?
Not very. That's my best answer I got for you.
Okay, let's give Tyler a round of applause.
Thank you.